Blog Talk Radio.
I like what you do because not only are you helping these gentlemen, you're also helping us. Because as a woman, I don't want a wimpy guy that I can walk all over. And believe me, I have a million of those guys chasing after me, and they completely turn me off. Women like a strong man. Women like a confident man. They like men that have a life. And they like men that don't drop everything, you know, just because she snaps her fingers.
The following is rated TV MALSV. It contains strong language, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Buying dinners and drinks only to become her friend? Do you want to overcome your fear of women? Be able to talk to women? Become more confident and keep her interested without losing a sense of self? Welcome to the Man Mindset Dating Hour with your host, all the way from Planet Man, Steve the Dean Williams. Steve has been coaching men all over the world on becoming a better man, understanding relationships, marriage, and sex advice, and he can help you too. And ladies, it takes a thief to catch a thief. It's time to stop listening to your single girlfriends and learn what it takes to get the ring. The call-in number is 718-508-9513. That's 718-508-9513. Guys, for more information on products and free dating information, please go to www.themanmindset.com. That's www.themanmindset.com. It's game time.
And this is one of the shows that we will have on next week. On every Tuesday, we will have William, Mr. Williams on. He is called Steve the Dean Williams, that deals with issues with dating and relationships, and that will be on Tuesday of every week on the Blog Talk Radio Broadcast Network. We also will have on next week Senator Batel from California, and he is going to connect with us worldwide. He is doing programming in regards to fine arts and art community internationally. And we're going to be connecting with the Greek audience, Greece, through his effort. He has a TV show. He's going to discuss that. And we're going to talk about more next week with Senator Batel. And every week we're going to have also this wonderful lady I'm going to have on tonight on our show. And we're going to go to the beginning of the broadcast. And this is Deanne on Blog Talk Radio Detectors Radio Broadcast Network. And we will begin. welcome everyone to the Deanne Burley Show, a part of the Blog Talk Network, a part of the Detectors Radio Broadcast Network, and we will begin with our show tonight. I am honored to have this wonderful lady on, because what I'm doing right now on my broadcast is I'm trying to bring in positive energy. I'm trying to bring in information for people in a time that we're living in where people are totally stressed, facing strange illnesses, having illnesses that they've had for years and ailments, and it's not just quite working with traditional medicine. Sometimes we might need to go into alternative realm. I found a lot of solitude in going to alternative medicine after being in at least 3 car accidents from 2011 up to now. Have had diagnosis of fibromyalgia and various other things, and also running into people. I'm running into a lot of people who have diabetes. I'm running into a lot of people that are totally ill, like Chicago's police chief today was at a conference, and he was standing right next to Mayor Emanuel, and he almost passed out. And everybody was, you know, astounded that he would be in that kind of condition. But, you know, stress, major illnesses, most of them are caused by stress. But we're going to talk to my guest. She's a wonderful young lady, has a business in Chicago in the West Loop area. It's called Genesis Chiropractic Wellness Center. It's located at 1169 West Madison Street. And she does wonderful things for healing the mind, the spirit. And I'm going to bring her on right now. Her name is Calista Lay. Calista, welcome to the Deanne Burley Show, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. That was a very lovely intro. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you and your work. Let's begin with, how did you get into chiropractic work?
That's actually a really interesting question. It, like a lot of wonderful things in my life, kind of found me more than I found it. I was about 15 years old when my mom told me that I should get a job at the doctor's office. And, you know, 15 years old, you think, oh, doctor's office, that'll probably pay me well. So I sure enough marched down there after school one day, asked for a job with my family chiropractor, and she gave me one. And after about 2 years of working there, I thought I would be a massage therapist because I had a natural knack for touch. It just came really naturally to me and I liked doing it. And in that process, I spoke to a male doctor I worked for who I always thought was a little bit on the arrogant side, but he, one day I told him I was going to go into massage therapy, and he looked at me and he just said, well, why wouldn't you become a doctor? And it was kind of the first time I was kind of taken back and thought, oh my gosh, somebody thinks I could be a doctor. And after I started thinking on it more and more, I decided that that was right, that that sounded like the right path for me to pursue. And I went straight from college right into chiropractic school, never thought twice about it.
So you went into chiropractic school, and what did you find there? Did you, you know, were you involved at all in like the mainstream medicine field? There's a difference, and I was wondering if you could tell the audience what the difference is between holistic, a chiropractic healthcare, and the mainstream as far as going to your normal physician and doctor and hospital, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest difference is, especially in the way modern Western or allopathic or traditional, whatever word you want to use, medicine operates as opposed to holistic, is that a lot of times now, you know, you don't go to the small, like the town's general practitioner, you go to a specialist upon specialist. So when you're going to this, you know, traditional pharmaceutical medicine route, you're really kind of taking the body and looking at it in broken down segments. You know, oh, you go to your heart doctor, or you go to your kidney doctor, or you go to your lung doctor. Whereas with holistic medicine, we're looking at how everything in the body functions in one unit. So we're not really breaking all these systems down into individual units. We're looking at the whole body, and we're looking at, you know, not just is your heart healthy? You know, are your liver enzymes okay? We're also looking at how is your quality of life? Are you happy? Do you feel fulfilled? Does your body move the way you want it to move? You know, there's just a little bit more of a, like why I always reference mind, body, spirit, because we're kind of looking to heal what makes you you as a whole, as opposed to, you know, what symptoms are you having problems with?
Well, that's interesting you said that, because, you know, I found after going to a doctor for one level of medicine, you know, you get a general doctor or physician, internist. You have, you know, one that specializes, like you said, in allergies, another one that specializes in your heart. And you go to multiple people, and all of them have different opinions, and they're not looking at the same thing, you know, which is you, your whole body, who you are. And it seems as though you become amidst in this shuffle. You know, you shuffled here, over there, and you're giving a whole lot of medications, which have a lot of different side effects. And in my particular case, I found out that, for instance, if I had gone to one physician and they ordered me to take, you know, heart medication, and another one tells me to take, you know, steroids, you know, to handle maybe some other type of allergy or something like that. The thing is that all these medicines that you're taking interact on your body negatively. So I've had scientists on, and yesterday I had Professor Garth Nichols on, and he's working with Lyme disease and ALS and various other things like MS and Parkinson's disease, and he found that there's a common thread there, and he's working on clinical studies on this. And the reason why I'm looking at these different levels, because the thing is that people in the United States, you know, are basically less healthy than ever before in this country. And I'm seeing, me personally, I'm seeing that I'm getting more involved with the holistic community, because it seems that the holistic community listens to patients. And there's a situation that you're doing healthy things. You're not taking drug after drug. You're looking at taking, you know, fruits and vegetables and nutrients. You want to kind of expound on that?
Yeah, I think the best I can say about that is we're kind of looking at what the body can do for itself. You know, there's definitely a time and place where you have to draw the line and say, I need medical assistance in terms of pharmaceuticals. And I think there are some really profound ways in which modern medicine does help people. But at the end of the day, really, if you, you know, to look back even to older civilizations and older cultures and just how they would assess medicine, and we're using a lot of things that are plant-based. I mean, we know a lot of plants and fruits and vegetables have healing constituents. For example, lemon is known to detoxify the liver. So when you start to look at these things, you can kind of see that the earth and the body already gives you so much that it can, that can naturally heal itself if you'd make the right steps. And that to me would be, you know, the more you can step away from processed foods, the less you can consume high sugar drinks and high contents of alcohol, the more you're going to allow your body to kind of be in a place where you give it the proper nutrition, and it'll turn that into fuel that will then kind of heal and regenerate itself. And we just don't look at that so much in modern medicine anymore, because the fact of the matter is, a lot of these processes require radical life changes. They're not quick. They're not, and they're not always, I hate to go into the conversation of are they affordable, because I think with a lot of stores like Aldi now is moving forward in organic food, we're finding that there are ways to live a lifestyle that is more nutritionally sound on a lower income. But I think, again, it goes back to how much change are you willing to make. But at the end of the day, to get back to what your question was, I do think there are really a lot of things that you can find naturally from nature, from whole food sources, from clean eating that are going to be beneficial to your body and your immune system. And the body is just a really profound thing in the way that, and what it can do for itself when it's given the right building blocks to do it. And unfortunately, with a lot of pharmaceuticals, we're seeing that maybe it's helping one symptom, but it inevitably is causing another symptom that now needs another medication. And you're just kind of really getting further and further away from having any sort of natural health.
Well, are you finding, and just like, for instance, patient coming to you, how do they come to you? You know, you have a business, you have a storefront in a very, very nice area, very close to the downtown area of Chicago. And how do your patients come to you? Are they fed up or are they seekers? Or how do they come to you in regards to getting assistance and help?
I think it's a multitude of paths. I have fortunately been in the Chicagoland area my entire life. So I know a lot of people and I'm a naturally social person. So I'm not afraid to go out and introduce myself and network. So I think one way is people get to know me, they see my personality and they feel comfortable and then they're interested in seeing what I can do for them. People find me online, insurance companies, you know, I can say a lot of wonderful things and a lot of not wonderful things, but to say something positive would be they do a really good job of, providing their clients or the people that utilize the insurance with ways to find practitioners. So if you look on, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield for chiropractors in Chicago, my name would be on there, for example. The other way, you know, people do just walk by. Do you have some specialty work I do specifically with helping infertility? And, you know, as you and I have discussed, I'm very also drawn to some of the more spiritual healing and I practice Reiki and acupuncture and all of these things are really showcased on my website. So when people are searching for me or they're searching, you know, for acupuncture in Chicago, I come up. And so I think just technology and word of mouth really seem to be the way a lot of people come in. And on occasion, you know, my clients that are really been wonderful to me refer people in. And sometimes I get people who come in who aren't really sure what I could even do for them, but they just want to experience chiropractic. And then I get people who come in who have done chiropractic their entire life and are just looking, you know, to continue that trend.
Well, the thing is, I've noticed that, you know, people are moving towards looking for people like you. You know, the spiritual aspect is very important. A lot of people are stressed out. I mean, you think of it, the average person out here is working maybe two jobs, and they're worried about bills, they're worried about their children, they're worried about their career, they're worried, worried, worried. And do you feel, from what you're seeing, is stress playing a lot into the situation with people that have illnesses that are coming to you?
Oh, that is a huge, loud, astounding yes, 100%. I definitely, yeah. I had a patient, especially working in a city like Chicago, where, I mean, it's rapid movement. There's a lot of technology and you know, we know electronic devices emit wavelengths and frequencies and that stuff. You know, it's why salt lamps are so popular, for example, not to go off topic, but just a quick tangent. They emit negative ions just like the ocean does. That's why we feel so good when we're by the ocean. Computers, telephone poles, all of that stuff emit positive ions, which scatter our cells and make our cells feel frantic. So even on a physiological level, just living in a high, fast-paced city, your cells are more stressed than if you lived by the ocean, for example. And then the emotional and psychological stress of commuting, traffic, people, do I have enough money? Am I making enough? Am I producing enough for my business? And a lot of these jobs in Chicago are advertising and sales, and it's high pressure, high turnover type work. So I do find a lot of people, maybe their pain does have a mechanical origin. Maybe they do have a disc issue, or they do have, loss of their natural curve in their neck, for example. But now they add the stress of emotional aspects, and it amplifies everything. I mean, we know people get sick from being stressed. And the best thing story I can give to kind of clarify that is I had a client I worked with for about 4 weeks, and she was not getting any improvement. And that's a long time for me. I typically am able to see some type of improvement, even if it's not profound, within 4 to 6 visits. I'm seeing at least a positive that we're going in the right direction. And I think this woman had, it was like, 8-10 visits we had been together. And finally, I don't know what made me say it, but I just looked at her and I said, I don't want to downplay what you're experiencing, but do you think it's possible that some of the pain you have is stress? And she just started crying in my office. And I said, okay, we're going to do things a little different today. And I did acupuncture on her. And she came back the next week and she said her pain had never been so good. And it was just, I think, acknowledging the fact that what she was experiencing wasn't completely just because, she works at a computer. It had a lot more to do with the demands of being a functioning person in the world we live in today.
Well, wouldn't you say, too, and that's a little bit of the study of Reiki, too, is picking up on individuals' auras and their chakras and things. Like when you run into a person, like you evidently had felt empathic on that individual and felt something that was, bothering them, and you brought it out. And with them releasing it and speaking it out, it helped them to release. Is that not true, or what do you feel on that?
I think that's absolutely true, and it's interesting because I, in recent years, have become more comfortable with some of the intuitive things I experience. I've had a lot of really interesting experiences that, I don't mind sharing with people, and I don't mind sharing with patients, but I know sometimes when people aren't open to that aspect, I don't want them to feel overwhelmed and like I'm trying to force anything down their throat. But with that being said, I have been very fortunate that a lot of my interactions with people, both in my personal life and professional life, have been led by being what some people would consider an empath. And I've had experiences where, embarrassingly so, I've gotten teary-eyed or almost to the verge of crying with people. I had a new patient who came in and I started crying and I said, I'm so sorry, but I just feel a lot of sadness. And lo and behold, she ended up telling me a lot about herself and confirmed for me that she was experiencing a lot of sorrow in her life. And so I think that stuff plays a huge role in what I do. And I've been very fortunate to meet medical doctors, not just holistic practitioners, but there's a medical doctor in St. Charles I met who was my first introduction to someone in the medical world who also referred to herself as a healer. And that was kind of when it struck me that being a doctor wasn't really all that I was. I really am a healer, and that is really more where my path lies. So I absolutely do use that in care. And not to sound, just to say for anybody listening, not to sound like I do my diligent work. I do my blood testing. I do my orthopedic testing. I am going by the book as a medical practitioner and making sure we're not missing any avenues. But I then also do add the layer of just kind of intuitively knowing things about people to their healing.
And one of the things too, you mentioned the stressors, working and, trying to make a living and things like that. But, there's another very major concern. I've done programs in the past about it. The use of cell phone technology, it's positive. because we can get in touch with people in millions of people in minutes, you know, whereas before, you know, writing a letter and depending on newspaper stories and things, it took a long time for this stuff to, you know, transfer from one person to the other. But now we have the speed. We have to be on a speed mode to survive in order to make money. You know, you have a cell phone. You can do, I mean, with a cell phone and laptop, there's no reason you should not be able to make money off of those two items because it connects you to millions and millions of people worldwide if you know how to use it. So my thing is, I've been looking at, and I've had other specialists on my show way back, Gwen, and we're talking about EMF waves, EMF waves that come off of these towers. Now, if you look around where you live, you know, whoever's listening to the show, just look around in your area. Somewhere within a square block area, maybe within a mile, you're going to see at least two or three levels of cell towers. They're attached to buildings, to high-rise offices, to lamp poles. And the thing is that every one of those devices gives off a signal, which is it is a frequency. It is an electrical frequency. And we are electric. We have electric frequencies to our body. Now, to me, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just thinking that this would have an impact on us and like draining us like a battery. Is that true or not?
I would definitely agree with that. That's kind of, you know, what I had mentioned earlier, that these things, these electronic frequencies that our body picks up do emit these positive ions, and that does make our cells, it makes our cells feel scattered and frantic. And so that's kind of what I was mentioning earlier about, you know, we know the ocean has more of a negative ionic emission, and that is actually really soothing and calming to the body. And that's why people feel better when they've been at the beach and things along that thought. So I absolutely think that's true. For me, you know, I do, being a Reiki practitioner, I do believe that there is this energy that is, whether you want to call it divine or spiritual or just kind of, you know, more intuitive in the body. But I do believe that even if that isn't something you're comfortable with, then we can talk about it in terms of physics. We know, we know we are energetic beings. We know we emit energy. We know we're conduits for energy. I mean, if we weren't, we wouldn't do things like attract lightning. You know, we wouldn't have this pull to attract lightning to our bodies. And when people are in situations where they get struck by lightning, you know, things like that is just an example of we know there's this electronic charge that our body can hold and emit. So it just would make sense to me that absolutely these high electric radiating things like cell phone towers and wires and cell phones and computers do have an impact. And, you know, they look at that, even they've been talking about that for a long time. And in some of the fertility training I've taken, one of the things we talk about is men with low motility often are carrying their cell phones in their pockets a lot. I mean, that is one thing that we tell people not to do. I know very sound, intelligent, successful doctors who are like, don't sleep with your cell phone in your bedroom. Your cell phone shouldn't even be on your nightstand. This whole thing where we use our cell phone as our alarm clocks is like, it really freaks some of these people out. Like that stuff should be kept away from you. And another thing I could add to mention to that is even the light our computers emit and our phones emit affect our sleep cycles. So, you know, these people who are laying in bed on their phone all night, that blue light that radiates is actually altering your circadian rhythm. So those are the things that we talk about. I think some of it might be a little controversial. We don't really know for sure, but these are the things we have theories about, if you will.
Well, the theories, you know, too, you know, like, you know, before I was looking at how people are even aging, you know, I've watched, you know, movie stars in the past, and their skin, their ability, ability to walk and run and things is very different than right now, a 50-year-old to somebody who was back, you know, back in Hollywood or whatever back in the day. The 50-year-old is almost like a 70-year-old in a way, because again, we're dealing with a lot of electronic frequencies. We're dealing with a lot of stress, and you know, we hear post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's usually thought of somebody coming back from a war. But it's almost like we here in the United States have, you know, entered into living in a condition of war. I think there's a lot more people on the street that have post-traumatic stress, and I think the stress levels are so high. This is the reason why people are going to physicians more and more. And this is the reason why, I guess, you're seeing a lot more people coming into your clinic. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I would agree with that completely. I think just the demands of American living, you know, are very high. You look at other countries that, you know, Europe would be a great example, where the way that they construct their work days and their work hours are very different. There's in some places there's more time, you start your day later, so your morning is a very slow process of, you know, enjoying coffee or tea in the morning before you stroll into work. Or in some places you work and then you take a reprieve during the day to rest and relax. Another great example of that is, you know, Sweden has very, very different paternal. They actually have paternal leave. The fathers get time off, not just the mothers. And I believe last I read, it was something like some mothers can get up to 2 years and fathers can get up to a year of time with their newborns. I mean, we just don't do stuff like that in America. You spend your day working and making money for a house you never really get to spend time in, for, you know, a car you're sitting in traffic in. I mean, it is kind of ludicrous how much of a heightened state of stress we have. And the other thing I would add to that is, just from my personal experience, I do work with an organization that's called the Breathe Network, based out of Portland, and they work with men and women alike who are victims of sexual assault and sexual abuse. And I would say, I think the current statistic is 1 in 4 women are sexually assaulted. I don't know if that we accurately know for men what the answer to that is, because I don't think men are as vocal about it. And so I think, just to touch back to the comment you made about PTSD, on any given day that you walk down the street, there are many people you're passing who have their own personal traumas within their life that they might not be receiving the help, the care that they need. And now, though, we're kind of advocating with things like Facebook. You can see people complaining a lot, but you can also see people being more verbal and forward about the needs that we have as individuals. And I think that is creating a lot of space for people to come forward and ask for the healing that they need.
Do you think it's really healthy? I know I'm going to go back to the chiropractic level in your practice, but, you know, I love talking to you because we seem to be kind of on the same wavelength of talking about, you know, what it is that we're seeing in the society breaking apart right now. And there is a lot of people now today, because of the way our lifestyles are, we don't have time to intermingle, socialize face-to-face. It's everything. It has to be high-tech, on the phone, through the use of laptops. And in fact, it's phasing out laptops. Everything is becoming iPhones and Androids and, you know, smaller levels of technology. And this is where we date. This is where we meet people. This is how we form friendships. Our whole life is becoming this robotic kind of wavelength, all based on different frequencies. And, you know, in doing that, we're getting away from the nurturing of understanding one and another in a relationship. And I think that because of this, that adds more stressors, and it causes people to break down into illnesses. Now, some of the illnesses are legitimate. I'm not saying that the illnesses that you're seeing are not, you know, legitimate. I'm just saying stress and this other stuff, toxic loving, living, toxic relationships, all feed in to your body falling apart. Is that true or?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, absolutely. I think about it this way. The things we tell ourselves and the beliefs we allow ourselves to hold about ourselves, our relationships, even down to our financial situations and our happiness, all kind of construct and create our reality. And this is something a lot of successful people have talked about. I know Jim Carrey's talked about it. Oprah talks about it. You know, you really do have this profound ability to create the life that you want to see for yourself. But if you live in an environment if you have an abusive partner, or maybe you have an abusive parent, you are the building blocks that are being set up against you to find that strength within yourself just continue to get higher and higher. And I think that really does affect your health. And I think it does affect how you feel about yourself. And to relate this into chiropractic care, there are lots of ways that pain that's manifesting in the body can be tied to emotion. For example, people who are very rigid and have issues with going with the flow and tend to live in more of like a black and white, it's this way or that way, and control, those people tend to have more knee issues than someone who is more comfortable being fluid with the way life changes, because life inevitably is going to change. So if you're staying always fixed, you know, you're kind of fighting against the natural order of things. Another example, a lot of financial worry manifests in back pain. Grief is, and some of this isn't just, you know, my idea. Some of this is what they talk about in Chinese and Eastern medicine. They look at things like anger can manifest from the heart. Kidneys can be where grief manifests. So people who carry a lot of grief might feel that mid-back flank pain. Another thing that's huge is a lot of trauma is stored in the hips, and there's a muscle that does the flexion of the hip, that raises the hip up towards the body, and it's called the psoas muscle. It's very, very tight in most Americans because all we do is sit all day, so we constantly keep it in a state of contraction. But that muscle itself is known as the seat of the soul, and you can talk to anybody who practices yoga, myself included. You know, my life is not without its own traumas that I've experienced. And when I first started developing a yoga practice, anytime we did what they call hip openers, I would want to cry. It would just come over me like this desire and need to cry. And a lot of that is from storing emotional trauma in the hips. So absolutely, yes. Can a poor environment cause body pain? Loud and clear, yes, it can.
and this brings back to your practice. You do Reiki. I was there at your shop, and you had done this cupping thing, and a lot of people don't know what cupping is. I happened up on it by strange coincidence. I had gone on YouTube, and I was looking through the videos because, see, what happened was I went through a major amount of stress because being on radio is stressful. I have 3 children I'm worried about. I try to do what I can for everyone that comes to me. And I had this overload of stress. Plus, I had sleep deprivation. And a lot of people, I'm going to warn you out there, and this is for me, myself, and I, you can work and work 2 jobs, and you can try to take care of your family. And a lot of women out there, you know, please take heed of this. You know, you say, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Well, over the years, this stuff basically radically changes your body because not getting, you know, 8 hours or 10 hours of natural sleep, which is during the time you need to heal. Now, I know all of this. I'm not stupid to it. But because of the lifestyle I was living, I said, okay, I can deal with this later. So I've stretched myself so far and thin that it's very difficult for me to sleep, relax, have any type of normal lifestyle due to the fact that I was in this niche of I can do it later, I can do it later, and ending up having like 1 to 2 hours sleep a night and kept working and kept dealing with people's problems and stressors and having that all added on. And that's why I was saying a lot of people out here not realizing have developed a pattern of post-traumatic stress disorder. Does that make sense to you, Kalista?
Oh yeah, that makes total sense. And I think especially, I think it's true of men and women. I think with men, there's that kind of constant thought that they have to provide, and if they take time away from work, how are they providing? And that creates a sense, a feeling or thought of, you know, am I really being a man if I'm not providing for my family? And I think with women, we are taught to be so selfless. We feel like we have to do everything for everybody. And the minute that we think we could or should do something for ourselves,
like
we
lay
feel
down, rest.
Yeah.
The basics.
So, yes. I think that absolutely. I think, you know, these poor social constructs that we really need to break free from do play a lot into health and how we view ourselves and our role in our families. And I do think that does create a kind of overwhelming stress that, you know, it's like a slow leaking faucet. You don't realize day in and day out that water damage is happening because the faucet's leaking so slowly. But at the end of the day, you know, you've kind of worn away your whole sink, if you will. And that's kind of what we do in our lives. We don't realize that these little day in and day out moments where we don't ever stop and take any time for ourselves are actually rolling into a huge catastrophic, you know, avalanche.
And it's sad too, because, you know, I was looking at, I mentioned earlier, the police chief of Chicago, and he was standing at the podium, and you could just see his eyes go like he was blanking out. And then you saw him, like, buckle. And it was like, you know, wow, what's going on here? And they rushed him out, and they let him drive. That was crazy. And he went to the hospital, came back, and he said since he was, like, 20-some years old, he had issues with his kidney, and he's waiting for a kidney transplant since he was 26. So
wow.
To be in this stressful type of job, my God, you know, with that type of situation, that's, you know, unbelievable. But that's what we're living with. This is what we are, and this moves back to what's the difference between a doctor, in my view, and a chiropractor. If I go to the doctor, I don't have time to discuss this with my doctor. My doctor has a certain amount of time to analyze what they think is wrong based on blood work and urine samples. And some of the things that you tell them that might interrelate to what they think might be the occurring factor what's making you sick. In my view, when you go to a chiropractor, like I'm talking to Dr. Kalista, I'm talking to her, and she's listening to me, all aspects of my life condition and how I feel, and she's picking up empathically, and she's looking at it not only as a person that, you know, people would go to basically have, you know, movement on their bones and joints, but she's looking at, and is that more or less what chiropractic is, more of a personalized medical review and more natural? Is that what it is?
I would say yes. I think that, I think with chiropractic, more so than with like medical doctors, you're going to find that we all kind of have our own style. But because what we do involves so much hands-on, face-to-face time, we really are developing more of a personal relationship with you. Whereas your medical doctor, you know, they can have a physician's assistant do your blood work, check your blood pressure, check your weight, check your height. Then they come in, you know, they give you 5-10 minutes of FaceTime. How you doing? How's your medicine? You feeling okay? Okay, good. You know, here's the prescription. Stay on the meds. We'll see you next time. And I'm sure that's not true of every medical doctor. So I don't mean to sound negative towards medical doctors, because I actually know some very wonderful holistic MDs. But with DCs, doctors of chiropractic, like I said, all that we can provide for you is hands-on healing. We can't write prescriptions. So when you go to the chiropractor, you do really get a doctor who is a little bit more invested in learning about you, partly because I think you're drawn to chiropractic over medicine or Western medicine for a reason. You know, we all kind of have our callings, but because of how much time we really spend getting to know our patients, it is a different type of relationship, absolutely. And I think there's a little bit more of a need. You know, we're assessing things like, why is your posture the way it is? So we need to know things like, what do you do for work? What do you do after work? What are your hobbies? How do you hold your child? How do you, everything from, you know, how are you sleeping in your bed to how do you drive your car? Because all of that stuff's going to affect the way your spine moves. And those are the things we really need to have like a picture painted of your day in and day out life to really be good at what we're doing.
And tell us the most impacting part of your practice. What is the good side, and what is the negative? Can you give us a little hint of, you know, what you see? No.
I think for me personally, the most rewarding side of my practice is knowing that I've made an impact on people's quality of life. So if you're in pain every day, and through getting to work with me, your pain's relieved. For some people, that is, I mean, that's like groundbreaking. I have people who've come in who thought, I never thought I would be able to, you know, play sports again, or I never thought I'd be able to, you know, people come in and they're in such bad pain, they can't hold their children. And I think that kind of stuff, to be able to give someone that back, is profound. And I had spent a little bit of time when I first started working, actually working with Lyme's disease patients. So it was interesting to me that you had mentioned the man you had on last night. And I would say there was an incident where my mom was in a grocery store and ran into a patient, because they actually had a personal relationship outside of my practice. And the woman told my mom that I saved her life. And, you know, like, it makes me now even like verklempt to think about it. If you knew me personally, you would know that I just am kind of a normal woman. I just kind of go about my business. I want to do my job and I want to do it well. And then I want to come home to my wonderful boyfriend and have a nice life. And I never think of myself as someone who's saving lives. So that's the good part of my practice. I am giving people their lives back in a lot of ways. And they're really getting healing that can be really profound for them. I would say the negative
human
side.
Touch is
yes,
very important, you know, because the empathic thing, we discussed that, and I'm kind of going to mention how that is in my view. I had done something a long time ago with a friend of mine's husband, and the empathic thing can be kind of dangerous in a way. Because, again, you pick up the elements of that person. You can, in this particular case, her husband was in the hospital in Chicago, and he had a tube down his throat, and they didn't think he was going to last that long. He was almost like in a coma. And when I got there, I don't know, I think it was a combination of drinking and drugs that he was doing that sent him into this, and he was going into heart failure. And I came in, and she was just in tears. She didn't want to lose her husband and stuff. So I decided, and I've done this some other times, and I went through the same scenario. I laid my hands on him, And then what I did was I did the Lord's Prayer. And then I also practiced Buddhism at the time. And I was chanting, we chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and I was chanting over him, and I was bringing forth whatever I felt in him into me. And I had this real strange, profound feeling that I saw him in a road with his brother, and his brother had gotten shot and killed. And had impacted on him that caused him to start drinking alcohol. I could see that in a vision very clearly. And then not later, after I left the hospital, he came out of whatever it was, and he was well again. But then I took on whatever it was that he had in him and infested mm-hmm. my body, getting sick.
Yes.
But then when he came out of what he was going through, the amazing thing is he commented to his wife. Now, mind you, I didn't know anything about him like that. And he had told her about his brother getting shot. And I had shared to her what I had, you know, felt. And I told her that. And she told me that he had told her that his brother did get shot in the street and killed. And a lot of his guilt was that he should have been killed instead of his brother. And that's why he was drinking and doing drugs. So the empathic thing, you know, you can do, but then the aftermath is a lot of times if you don't know how to remove that energy, it stays with you. Is that something you ever experienced, or do you know about that?
Oh, yes. Yes, unfortunately. I have been in picking up on things my whole life since I was a child. Everything from I can tell you stories about where I've known things before they've happened to I've heard audibly heard things that sounds just like a thought. And then, you know, within 2 minutes, someone's verbally saying it out loud. So, I mean, I've had these experiences that range just from like a weird inkling all the way to like, did somebody just talk to me? You know, like, so at a young age, like most people who are empaths or have any sort of, I almost want to say psychic gifts. If, you know, you don't always understand what's happening to you. You don't know. And so like most people, I started, I experienced a lot of depression. I started drinking at a very young age. And I did these things as coping mechanisms because I didn't understand that a lot of the feelings I was carrying around were not really fully mine. And now as I've gotten older and I've understood the importance of taking care of myself, I practice yoga almost daily, even if it's just 10 to 15 minutes of moving through postures to ground myself. I do my own Reiki on myself. I've seen a shamanic healer. I have two really wonderful, talented Reiki practitioner girlfriends in my life that work on me, and I meditate and through all of that, I've learned to differentiate what is mine and what is others. I mean, I can tell you, I've had people walk in the clinic. I'm having a wonderful day. Life is peachy. My 11 o'clock won't even have shown up yet. And at about 10:30, I'll start getting really bad anxiety. And sure, and it's like I'm picking this stuff up before they're even coming in at times. I've had scenarios where I've worked with people who are just really negative. Like, you know, we all know somebody who everything is horrible. They complain all the time. They throw around the word hate like it's just a simple descriptor. And I think the things we say have a lot of power. So, for example, when I'm around somebody who can be that negative, I can leave the situation and catch myself having these imaginary imaginary fights with people. And I'm not that type of person. So yeah, I 100%, you pick up things from people. And the more you become aware of that, the more you become aware of how to protect yourself from that. And I think me and you had spoke about this before, that through learning Reiki, you really learn how to protect yourself from absorbing the energy of others. And it's a really important thing. And I wish that everybody, whether or not they believe in this spiritual aspect, would find the importance in meditation, because I think meditation, I think if we all meditated, if we taught children meditation as part of schooling, some of the problems we have in the world would become non-existent.
And the other thing that I noticed, too, with your practice, you also use essential oils, and you kind of explained that to me. Can you tell our audience about that?
Yeah, I do. I use essential oils. I love essential oils. I think I told you kind of when I first was introduced to them, I thought I didn't think much of it in terms of medicine. I kind of was like, you know, yeah, they smell good. Sure, they're relaxing. But I have, I had my own health issue with some female issues, and I started using essential oils, and I have done everything from, I had tried birth control to fix my issues. I used aspirin, heating pads, stretching, you name it. And every trick in the book, and the one thing that provided me the most pain relief was essential oil. So that's when I started deciding to incorporate it in my practice. I use essential oils on myself when I have hives. I've found them to be beneficial for nausea, headaches. I use them in Reiki healing to create a relaxing environment. But essential oils, you know, it just goes back to what we said earlier about some things that grow from the earth, plants. I mean, plants, fruits, you know, like citrus, for example, can be, it's good for the immune system. We know that, you know, vitamin C is great for our immune system. So there's properties of citrus that are good for keeping the immune system boosted. There's also properties like grapefruit actually increases your metabolism. So grapefruit can be assistance in weight loss, which you see weight loss pills that you can buy over the counter that have grapefruit extract in them. And that's for a reason. Grapefruit boosts your metabolism. I'm not advocating that people go take those pills. A lot of times they have dangerous things in them. I feel the need to say that. But my point that I'm trying to make is we know that these things have properties that are good for our body. So essential oils are just another great way, depending on the quality of the essential oil. There are companies that have clean sourced therapeutic grade oils that really can be beneficial to your health. And just to tie that to Reiki, I know the company Young Living, they sell essential oils. They've actually invested some time in researching, do essential oils emit an energetic frequency? And they found that the use of essential oils can actually raise your vibrational frequency. So we're talking about in terms of, you know, how positive or negative are you? And that relates to the citrus, because we know when we smell citrus, we feel more alert, we feel happier, we feel more awake. So it's not just making you feel good and smell good and happy. It's also, there are ways that you can use oils to heal the body.
And these oils and these essential vitamins and minerals, you have it available through your website, and they can get it, buy it by calling to you. Is that not true?
Yeah, I don't have like an online store where they can order from. I do like to meet people and kind of understand what their needs are before I, you know, prescribe them anything. But once I kind of know somebody and know what they need, then yeah, really simply I can order things for people, or I can direct them to, I have an online supplement store that I can give them the link to. And I do sell a lot of the stuff just out of my clinic as well.
And let me ask you, the other traditional part of chiropractic work is, you know, stretching the bones, trying to manipulate or straighten out the, you know, your posture. Now, what is important as the other parts we're talking about, posture and, you know, where your bones are laying and stuff in regards to pain and, you know, wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing about chiropractic, or the main aspect of it that's so profound, is that your entire nervous system and nerve supply exits out of your spinal cord, out of your spinal column. You know, if you Googled the spine and the nervous system, you would see that the vertebra of the spine within the center of them is a hollow opening through which the whole spinal cord runs, and then all of the nerves exit between each junction of vertebra to vertebra through what's called an intervertebral foramen, and they feed out into the body to supply your organs, to supply your tissue, to supply your muscles. So What happens with the best way I can describe this is that the nerves of the body are, you know, when you see a model, they look like hard plastic, but in reality, they're really like these fibers, just kind of like embroidery floss that little girls make to make friendship bracelets. So when you have a joint that's out of position, and what I mean by that is if you always sleep laying on your stomach with your head turned to the right, it's inevitable that you're going to start making fixations in your neck and your cervical. Fixations in the joint could potentially impinge one of these fibers of the nerve. So some people experience that as numbness that radiates down the arm. Some people experience it as burning pain in the shoulder blade. Some people don't really experience much pain at all, but maybe they're really prone to getting colds. And the reason that chiropractic is so precious to health is that every time you get an adjustment, you're restoring mobility and function back to the joint. And what you're doing by that is you're allowing the nervous system to free itself of any impingements it might have along the spinal column. And therefore, you're giving a breath of fresh air to your nervous system and all the organs it supplies. That's why people who are adjusted, you know, and this isn't just me saying this as a chiropractor, this is evidence-based research that you can look up on sources like PubMed. Statistically, people who are well-adjusted have better functioning immune systems, and we believe this is because when you're adjusted and you free up all of that nervous system flow that could be impeded from joint irritation, from daily activities, from the way you sit to running to weightlifting, you're now allowing your nervous system to tell your organs better input. You're allowing the nervous system to give your muscles better input. And so that's really what the thought is that when you're well adjusted, your posture is more improved, and therefore the stress and strain you put on things like your nerves, your muscles, and your ligaments are relieved, and the body feels better and the body functions better.
Felisa, can you hear me?
Felisa? I can. Yep, I hear you.
Oh,
now.
Okay. I don't know. I lost you there for a minute. I just was just curious to ask you this. If you had a magic wand, what would you say would be the most significant thing out here that is involved with causing these people to get more and more diabetes? I'm just astounded. Every day I travel around Chicago and Chicagoland area, I'm seeing more and more and more people with diabetes. And I see more and more people losing limbs from having diabetes. And we just lost Mary Tyler Moore, and, you know, she survived all the way up to 80 years old. But on average, people, some of them don't even make it to 80. And I just was wondering, have you noticed the trend of this diabetic issue here? And is there something the chiropractic community is seeing in regards to that?
I think within my practice, specifically just being the demographic I'm in, I'm not attracting a lot of diabetic patients, but I do know that is a huge facet of health. My mom actually has diabetes herself. So I think one of the biggest trends for why diabetes is more prevalent now than it was ever before is our food sourcing. I mean, you can Fast Food Nation, I think, is a really wonderful book, and one of the things they talk about in it is the way the government subsidizes food, like the way they subsidize their income for food. So there is more profit put into corn and grain product than there is anything else in our industry. I think another thing that is controversial but needs to be talked about is what we feed the animals that we eat. I could go on a whole in tangent about how terrible I think the meat industry is. Not to say that I don't occasionally eat meat, but there is a lot of information out there that shows they feed cows. Sometimes they feed them. I just saw an article about how they're feeding cows Skittles. They feed cows corn product. So
you know what? I was shocked. You're right about that. I saw that, and I couldn't believe they would feed cow Skittles. That was like, what?
yeah. And that's what we eat.
What would put somebody in the mind that Skittles would be healthy for the, you know, feed product to a cow, which we later, you know, it's kind of like the book they had a long time ago, You Are What You Eat. So the cow's becoming a huge Skittle to us. You know, what is that? Why would somebody even think of doing that?
I think because it's they don't really care what the animal is fed. They care about fattening the animal so that they have a heavy weight of product to sell. It's at the end of the day, it's about profit. And if you really start to research how detrimental animal farming is to the environment and to health, it really gets pretty scary. And it's about, you know, it's about product. It's business. It's about product, about what they can push out. And so we're essentially eating diabetic animals because these animals develop health issues from what they're eating, and then we eat that. And a lot of the food that's accessible and easy to get is processed and full of additives. So, I mean, even myself, I don't mean to sound on a high horse. I have a busy life. I have a practice in Chicago. I'm a busy person. I don't always eat the best because it's because of time. So that's another thing. We're more stressed. Our time spread more thin. If you really want to be someone who eats in a way that's best for your body, you have to have the time and energy to shop, prepare meals, and you have to really make that part of your lifestyle. And if you aren't doing that, then you're likely eating things on the go, or you're grabbing things that are easy. And those things are heavily based in wheat and corn and carbs, another great example, all those things that are delicious, pasta, pizza, it's byproduct at the end of metabolism is sugar. So whether you like Snickers or you like pasta, at the end of the day, that's converting into sugar and your body's storing that. And I think that is why things like diabetes are more prevalent, because it's just a combination of not having the time to care for your body the way that you'd like to, and not having the, whether it be accessibility or patience to find the food sources that would be best. And I also think it's worth noting that, grain and dairy products are addictive. This is what we're talking about in nutrition science nowadays, that these both dairy, which has casein, and a lot of grain, which has gluten, can be habit forming. And we don't feel as scared about it as we do drugs, because we don't see the detrimental effects as immediately. The effects that you have from being addicted to sugar and dairy will take 30 years to catch up with you.
Well, it's kind of like yesterday, as I said, I had Professor Garth Nicholson on and kind of give you an idea of who he is. He's a molecular biochemist, and he was involved with looking into individuals that were in the Gulf War and found a common thread that they all were coming back to passing on diseases to their family, including a wife and children. And the diseases that they were getting were from vaccinations. And these vaccinations had all types of different types of viruses and things within them. And he states that he feels that through a lot of these studies he's being, you know, has conducted, and he has saved a lot of people's lives. Basically, he's found out that because of the amount of chemicals and the amount of plasma that is contaminated that we're getting in our system, people are getting ALS, and they're getting things like Parkinson's, they're getting MS, they're getting all these different diseases from vaccinations alone. And he was on the air talking about these things, and see, from the science community at that level, and from what you're doing in your level, it's very important for people to understand that these are the highest levels of medicine. Not that the doctors that you go to are not, but they are more into a practice of, going by the book, let's say, and not going past, the level of looking at the fact that maybe they need to, you know, cross a little bit of the road there and try to get more into what's going on with the patient, get into the patient's psyche, and understand that patient is, you know, a friend, as you would think you would want to be treated. That's what I was saying. That response is not there because they don't have the time. They're trying to do what they can. I'm not knocking doctors, but the thing is that right now we are a very, 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 very sick nation. And I'm seeing a lot of people dying at very young ages, and we need to radically change it. And that's one of the things I'm going to mention real quick here that this broadcast is going to be about. Not only talking about the problem, but we're going to look towards getting the solution. The solution is wellness. The solution is looking at the problem head on and recognizing it and marrying yourself back to, you know, the problem is right here in my face, and I'm a part of this problem, so how did I get out of this and change, you know, my lifestyle before it's too late? Because, you know, we live only a certain amount of time on this planet, and if we don't do what we can to keep ourselves healthy and straight, then our time here is futile. It's not for anything. And we have a previous, current generation that we have bred, and we need to be able to give them something so that they can support and survive into the next generation. Is that how you feel? This is my statement. And I want to also let the audience know that Calista is going to have her own show here on my network once a week, and she's going to talk to people about different levels of health. And I'd like to welcome her as a new host on one of my broadcasts. So, Calista, do you have anything you want to say here? And please give your website information and the area where your store is located here so people will know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think mostly what I can say to kind of wrap up on what you were just saying is that I think that's absolutely right. I do think that I think the solution is going to have to come from people. People have to, the day of trusting everything your doctor says and just doing what you're told is coming to an end, and people really need to become the advocate for their own health. And in my practice, I'm always telling people this is a team effort. So you need to talk to me about what you want, and I will tell you what I think, and then you all, and my professional opinion and what's best, but you also need to come back and tell me what's going to work for you. And I think that people need to take control of their health more. You don't have to just do what you're told. You know, you need to find a path that's best for you. I think the paradigm we have in medicine and in society in general is not appropriate. anymore, and we all need to play our role in evolving our consciousness to the next level. And that is going to be things like being responsible for your health and your nutrition and your activity. I can't fix everything that's wrong in the world, and no one person can. So if I took away everything that could potentially be bad for you, there'd be nothing left. But if you as one individual can make choices every day, bit by bit, that are best for your life, you will be able to get your health to the place that you want it to be. So I think that's my biggest thing I can say as any sort of medical professional is I'm always trying to teach people to be an advocate for their own health and to take responsibility for themselves, because that's really the only way, I think, to live a life that we feel proud of. And
are there any chiropractors that work with children at all, or is it just specifically adults?
No, I treat children. My youngest patient was 3 weeks old. You better believe if I have a baby, I will be like, can you hand me my baby so I can adjust my baby now? Because birthing can be a stressful experience for a baby. It's a natural process, but there's still a lot of pressure that's put on the baby, whether they're born vaginally or cesarean. There's a lot of, it's kind of stressful, you know, experience for the nervous system. So adjusting for children and adjusting for babies is not the same as adjusting for an adult. Their body and their structure is different. So babies are more cartilaginous versus an adult that has solid formed bone mass. So it's just the touch is a little different. It can be more gentle. But anybody, the joke in chiropractic is anybody with a spine needs a chiropractor. I don't practice on animals, but just to further reiterate what I'm saying, I do acupuncture and adjustments on my dog. I don't do that as a service. I only treat humans, but there are people that do treat animals. So, I mean, literally any living being with a spine and a nervous system can benefit from chiropractic health.
There's another form of like not Reiki, but there is something that people do where they have like a huge chart of your body, and somebody can take your foot or your toe and manipulate it or press it, and it's supposed to cure like areas like your heart ailments, or you know, you have something wrong with your kidney. I can't think of the name of it. Do you do that, and are you familiar with that?
I don't do that. I don't, there's different types of acupressure and reflexology. So I'm not sure if that's kind
that's
of what you're,
reflexology.
Reflexology. Yeah. I've heard of it. I don't know much about it. I mean, I can't comment to it. I guess I can't say it's bad, because acupuncture, is kind of, you know, utilizing these different acupuncture points throughout the body to affect different changes and things. So I do believe that, you know, different parts of the body can refer pain to different areas. So I think there's something to be said for it. I just am not educated in it.
Have you ever had any patients that were kind of skeptical of coming to you in the first place, you know, scared to moving from, you know, the traditional doctor and then seeing you? Had you ever run into anyone like that?
Yeah, there are people that are skeptical. I've heard so many times the phrase used a lot, I'm not sure if I believe in chiropractic, and it was always kind of interesting to me because I'm like, well, it's not a religion. You don't really get to choose if you want to believe in it. There is science-based evidence, you know, but that is kind of a common, I guess euphemism would be the word I hear, but I have had people be skeptical. And you know, I can't, no matter what type of medicine you practice, from psychology to a surgery, you can't help everybody. So not everybody who walks in my door have I helped. I think I can confidently say I've bat a pretty good average of, you know, at least 90%, if not more, I am helping. But I also know, I also know when not to keep somebody in care. You know, if I know that I'm not the path that somebody needs, I'm not afraid to refer them out. I think that, I would rather somebody go, wow, that doctor really put me on the right path, than go, I think that doctor, you know, just wanted me to come in a lot. So people can be skeptical, but I've been fortunate that my work has kind of spoken for itself, you know.
So right now, what is it that, you know, you would see is the biggest problem with people in the United States? You know, just overall, we have obesity, we have individuals out here that are totally disabled, you know, a lot of them, you know, through diseases like it seems to be a spring of MS cases more or less than ever before. And then you have, you know, individuals that have diabetes and, you know, congestive heart failure. It just goes on and on and on. You know, and these diseases and things I just mentioned is something you would not commonly see about 30, 40 years back, you know. So what is going on? Why are these dead, dormant diseases coming back into fruition again?
I think that a lot of this is attributed to our overall quality of health. Like you said, you know, obesity is like at its kind of scary high. We think, I can't remember the statistic off the top of my head, but we have like more childhood obesity than we've ever had. I think things like heart disease, diabetes, not so much, you know, things like MS and ALS, because those are autoimmune nervous system issues, but some of these things, heart disease, cancer, some cancers, diabetes, these all can be things that can be preventable with the right care for your physical body. But I think that something that's interesting to note is that we are quickly approaching a age where one of the top four and soon to be number one killers in America will be complications from pharmaceutical use, because I think most people by the time they're in their 60s or 70s are on above 10 medications. So I think you can't answer that question with just one simple answer. I think it's multifactorial, but I think the way that we eat, I think our sedentary lifestyle, being on computers most of our days instead of doing physically active jobs, and I think the high volume at which we go on pharmaceuticals all play a role into why we see such stark changes in our health compared to decades ago.
Well, I thank you very much for coming on my show, Calista. And she has this place called Genesis in Chicago in the West Loop. And she's the manager there, and I will, you know, provide, you're the owner. You're the owner.
Yeah, I do
and
it all.
And the thing is, to provide the information here by letting you come on the air and basically tell us, you know, how to contact your office, where exactly it's located, and any website information, if you want to give that to my audience right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The website is genesischiropractic-chicago.com. My name is Dr. Calista Lay, and the phone number is 312-491-8100. I take patients Tuesdays through Saturdays, and I'm on the corner of Madison and Racine at 1169 West Madison in the West Loop.
Oh, hello? I'm sorry.
Hello?
I hit the wrong button. Okay, but I'm glad you put information out here. And we're going to be looking forward to your new program coming on the air next week. And I thank you very much for coming on the show with such short notice, but I think you did wonderfully well. And
you helped
a lot of people. And, folks, next week you will be able to call in. If you have any questions of her, please do so. She will, you know, give you what information to help if she can. So, again, I thank everyone for listening, and I thank you, Calista, for coming on my program tonight. And we'll be back up tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Time on the Detectors Radio Broadcast Network, and I'm your host, DeAnne Burley. Good night, everyone, and good night, Calista. Thank you.
Good night.